are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
That's exactly where you're at, the Maranatha Drive, and this beautiful Friday, we're wrapping up our conversation in the theme that we've been running with the whole week. If you see us on Friday, it means, hey, is done, is chai, is ampur klar. And we're saying in our digital evangelism conversation, in-person church services typically last about 2 to 3 hours a week, right? With small groups averaging another hour, right? Sometimes some stretch it a bit, or even some make it a bit less, right? And physical church is open to people about 2 to 3 hours a week. 90% of millennials today have smartphones, giving online ministries and digital evangelists access to millennials, not just 2 to 3 hours, but 168 hours a week. And if you look at the stats, they will shock you as to how much time people spend on their phones every single day. So we're saying, look at this open platform to minister to. So we're going to be speaking to that and to those kind of issues today as we discuss wrapping up our conversation. And joining us is the evangelist who is now on the line. Good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome again to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me today. I am really happy that we are at the end of the week.
Yes, indeed. And we appreciate you for spending it with us. Truly, truly, thank you so much.
No, it's all but a pleasure. We can only thank God.
Amen.
For that.
Amen. Amen. Now, we just gave quite a daunting statistic right there, right, about what the figures look like about the platform that's open in terms of the digital space. In today's digital age, what's the difference between just creating a consumer, especially when you look at what the culture is? Between creating a consumer and actually building, making a disciple.
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate to admit that every good thing does come with its disadvantages. And this is one of the biggest problems that we face with the digital content as a whole before we even speak about digital evangelism.
Okay.
You find that it's very easy to jump from channel to channel, from sermon to sermon.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, it was actually interesting. There was a behavioral scientist who proved that we take in so much information, yet we are experts at nothing. We know how to fly planes from 30-second videos. We know how to cook biryani. We know how to do heart operations, but we really can't do any of the things that we watch.
Yeah.
So there is a danger of becoming consumers in this day and age. And perhaps that's something that we can speak on, how not to, you know, fall into, since it is a huge trap.
Certainly. Because I think that's the idea, right? To say, how do we then move to making something that actually lasts, that is tangible, that transitions from just being head knowledge, like you're saying, we all know these things, but actually in practicality, we know absolutely nothing. Because if that's the trend, how can we then stop just being head disciples to being actual disciples who walk? And in actual fact, as you say that, I'm reminded of a study that one pastor, Mfundisi Mondin Chacha, once shared with me a couple of months back, to say, when you look at disciple, in the olden days, the way it was actually structured in the biblical times, it was not that you sit with a teacher and they lecture you and they show you scriptures and so on. No. You shadow the whoever is your mentor in discipleship and you do what they do. It's about practical application. How can we then have that? How can we have that on an online platform?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the biggest way we can not only disciple people but get to be disciples ourselves is to take the old counsel that we have in the Bible of studying to show oneself approved unto God, not unto the next person.
Okay.
And while we are living in an age where information is easy to get to, we still need to remember to take time, you know, to write things down, to read, and to really focus on one topic at a time. And when it comes to us then, you know, spreading content online, we shouldn't do what I want to term as a hit and run, you know, type of methodology.
Okay.
We should really find to establish relationships with people. Yes, we feed them the content, but we should find to connect with them beyond just sharing the content. We need to find ways where we can have personal interactions, where we can take these interactions off the air and where possible, perhaps meet with the people in person, perhaps invite them to church. And where you cannot do that, find a way to then connect them with the closest group of like-minded believers who would then be a representation of yourself, so that we don't end this discourse online, but we really create something out of it. Because guess what? There's a next video that will entice your viewer, and before you know it, you've lost them. So it's very important to then convert these interests, to meet them in person, or to direct them to somewhere where they can be discipled beyond just the content created online.
Quite profound. And I like that human touch, which can never be eliminated, right, in any conversation. But I want us to maybe just come back to the online space. Are there any technologies or any way we can use technology itself as a tool for discipleship? Or it doesn't work, its work is just to connect us to then do discipleship on a physical space? Okay, it looks like we've lost our guest there. Let's see if we can try and reconnect that line so that we can have a conversation. We are currently chatting to the good brother regarding matters pertaining to digital evangelism, and it's a special focus to talk how we make it tangible in terms of the discipleship we are working at achieving. Right, we're talking digital evangelists, and they are evangelizing souls, not just information, and transformation, not just communication. Right, so how do we make that practical, Brother Anisa? Do we have you back?
Yes, you do have me back. I'm sorry about that. I had lost you also for a second.
Not to worry. Thank you that you are back then. That's the point, the gist of it. I was asking to say thank you for the response on how the goal is to then take this, whatever connection we've made on an online space, and then translate it into a physical relationship, which can never be eliminated or done away with, right? Substituted even. But I was wanting to find out, is there a way to use technology to actually create disciples? Or it doesn't really work. That's not the purpose for which it is made in terms of technology. I mean, its role is to just connect, and then discipleship happens off air, so to speak, offline in a physical platform.
Yeah.
Or can we use discipleship and make it work on an online platform? Is that something possible?
Yeah. We serve a God of the impossibilities, and there's really no restrictions that we can put to the work that God can do. But the short answer to your question would be knowing the rightful purpose and place for these online tools. Because at the end of the day, the entire concept of discipling someone is one that unfortunately then requires physical interaction. When Jesus called the disciples to follow him, he didn't do it via WhatsApp, he didn't do it via Instagram, but you find that he walked with these men, fishermen that would swear, fishermen that would fight, fishermen that would be, you know, rude, if you will, but from beholding the character of Jesus, because we have to face it, we edit the content that we post online. It's a polished product, but we lack the human challenge, you know, the challenges that we go to on a day-to-day, and there's so much more depth, and there's so much more experience that one can then benefit from when they actually then take that connection offline to online to offline and interact in person, which is why in my previous comment, I said that we need to find ways of then connecting beyond the platform. And in places where we can't do that, we then direct the person to the closest group of like-minded believers to then disciple them. Because discipleship has to do with character molding, character building, and eventually turning someone into someone who goes fishing after other people. But when it all ends online, you have no control over what video they watch next. Just after you have convinced them that Jesus rose, is coming back for us, they watch a video about the flat earth, and that becomes their new gospel. So it's very important for a relationship to be established and for the conversation to continue offline. But God can really work in marvelous ways, and it is possible for someone to be discipled online. Ultimately, the ideal situation is for the person to be connected with offline in person.
Because I can imagine somebody is asking to say, you know, there's been strides, especially since COVID, where even schooling systems have been taken to an online space. I know a couple of universities that have started an online high school, you know, where there is no classroom. You just register and your school is operated on that online space. And then they're thinking, surely church can be then handled in such a manner. But I hear exactly where you're coming from. I want us to look at something in a different conversation earlier this morning, in actual fact. There was a chat on a similar topic, but more leaning towards faith. And the guest who was speaking on the radio this morning, Funisa Muunga, was speaking on to how it's important to understand that the new world, he called it the new world, is now lived online. That's the new platform. And as I was listening to that, I thought in my mind, this is meaning when Christ says, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, as a fisherman, you don't just look for a body of water and say, there's water, I'm going to fish. No, you look for a body of water with fish and then you go fish there. So as a fisherman, it then becomes part of the trade, not only to identify where water is found, but where fish is also, what is that word where when fish are gathered, I forgot, now it ran away from my mind. But that becomes a necessary tool. And what I'm trying to drive at is, how can we then utilize technology to leverage reaching out to new demographics, spaces where the church was not used to going to, you know, spaces and cultures and worldview or spaces where you were not normally accustomed to going? Because as ministries, we must be honest to confess that we've got a certain leaning, you know, that no, this is who we usually minister to. But technology says it cuts across the board. Speak to us a bit about that.
Absolutely. I think the word is intentionality.
Okay.
We have to really be intentional about who we target, our message to. And sometimes you find that you are, you know, doing a lot of work in a territory, whether on or offline, that doesn't need that type of work, where the majority perhaps already know the truth, and you find that you are then, you know, oversaturating the message where there are areas that are really without the message at all. So we want to thank God once again for the technology that we have and the wonderful data and statisticians, if you will, in the church who compile reports. We know about the 1040 window, and we know about areas where Christianity and the Bible as a whole is not necessarily, the most popular. So we use these tools to then be informed as to where do we need to direct our efforts. And I think I alluded to this fact a few days back when we were having one of the interviews, to say that, man, Google keywords, is a feature that Google Analytics offers, where you can literally see what people are searching and where they're searching, you know, for that information from. And you can use all those tools to then inform your ministry as to how you can then effectively and relevantly share and, disciple people after that. So that the message is not, let's say, wasted, or it falls where there is no fish to catch.
Yeah, and I think that's quite profound, right? And I'm drawn to maybe veer a bit, especially looking at this idea of AdWords and so forth that you're bringing across, to say,
sure.
So it's not unethical to then almost write algorithms that can push this gospel forward. That would be something that actually would be encouraged in this digital space.
No, by all means, this is why we have experts, not only in the church, but I believe ministries should also, and I suppose this is a conversation that we didn't really dive deep into when it comes to the quality and the expertise of our ministry. We need to operate at a level where we beat the world at what they are doing, because, like it or not, there are companies that study how to make a viral video. There are companies and scientists that study human behavior. There are algorithms that are written by, programmers, if you will, to direct a certain audience. And I believe that there is nothing wrong with having such expertise expertise to ensure that we do the human part with the talents and skills that God has given us so that the message can go far and wide at a much quicker and faster rate, which is why we have marketing specialists, and those should also work hand in hand with your software engineers and the likes. So absolutely, quality all the way, and where science needs to be applied, we do so.
I think that's very key. That's very, very important. Now, as we draw to the close, I want us to share some practical, I mean, we call it scripture in motion because it must apply to our walk of life. Can you share some success stories, perhaps, or testimonies about the role that digital evangelism has played in bringing Jesus to the people, right, or someone to Jesus?
Oh, absolutely. I've got so many stories that I have at the top of my head, but I want to maybe share the story of a young man who got wheelchair bound after a horrific accident. And this young man felt they still needed to work for Jesus. And he took his phone, having lost the ability to walk, having lost the ability to fully participate in society as he was now wheelchair bound.
Okay.
And he started calling people. He would get random numbers. He would get, you know, directories of people, ask them for permission, whether they had a minute to be prayed for, they wanted to pray for. And I'm telling you, his ministry was so successful that so many people came to Jesus. Many people wanted to commit suicide, and they say, thank you for that call. Because if you call, I'm able to live another day. So there are absolutely even way more success stories, but this is one that I just, you know, had at the top of my mind.
Wonderful.
And there are churches that are broadcasting their services online, and someone walks in and say, hey, I found out about this church online,
and
here I am. And I also remember during COVID, a lot of people wondered, who is the Antichrist? What is the mark of the beast? And many people ended up going to the closest Seventh-day Adventist church to them, having founded someone who could actually explain this concept logically without intertwining any conspiracies in it, but purely from the Bible.
Oh. Amen. Amen. The power of digital evangelism. Thank you so much for that, my brother. And any final thoughts as we wrap up the theme that we've been running this week, this whole conversation on not just digital evangelism and online ministry, but becoming digital evangelists and online ministers?
Absolutely, man. You don't need to wait for an invite to go preach at a church.
Yeah.
Your phone is a pulpit. Use it. An average person has got about 50 to 100 people on their WhatsApp list. And many of them may not believe the way you believe. Many of them may be dying for a lack of hope. I want to encourage someone today to say, share the word of God, even on your WhatsApp line. You don't need to spend money to set up a digital ministry. Do what you can with what you have today.
Oh, yes. Do it and do it today. There is room for what you possess. I mean, it's that statement that God asked, I think it was Moses, right? What do you have in your hand?
What do you have in your hand?
Amen. Thank you so much, my brother. May God bless you. Until we chat again next time, keep well and stay blessed with your family. May he continue to enlarge your territory.
I appreciate that. Thank you to everyone again who lent up in here today. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. That is Evangelist Anes Uchogo-Guza talking to us regarding this very important subject to say, hey, I loved that conclusion. Don't wait for something special. Today you can start. It's Helen Keller, right? I long to do something great and noble. But until that day I get that opportunity, I will do the small tasks as though they were great and noble. Are you looking for an opportunity? Here's what you can do.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.